Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We do continue on here on the program. So something has happened today that is going to probably impact you and your ability to watch Cardinals and your ability to watch Blues games. If you've been following along for a while, you know that the Cardinals recently re-upped with FanDuel Sports Network, formerly Bally Sports Midwest. But the big thing that was still hanging out there was the fact that the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball had objected to the bankruptcy hearing of Diamond Sports, the parent company of what is now FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. So even though the Cardinals had agreed to their TV deal, it wasn't for sure going to move forward if the bankruptcy judge did not approve the plan for Diamond Sports and for the network moving forward. Well, a couple things happened today, and it's not getting a ton of headlines, but it is notable. First off, Major League Baseball and also the Atlanta Braves, along with Sinclair, have all withdrawn their objection to the Diamond Sports Chapter 11 plan. So the plan is no longer being objected. Sidebar on that. What an interesting turn of events. It wasn't that long ago that we were putting Bally Sports Midwest in the grave. Myself included, I talk about this a lot on this show. We knew without a doubt that Bally, or what was known as Bally, it was on its last leg and it had no chance whatsoever. Give credit to them. They have figured out a way to potentially come out of bankruptcy because now there are no objections to this plan. And oh yeah, by the way, more teams are signing up to stay on the network. So in addition to the Braves and the Cardinals, deals have also been struck with the Angels, the Rays, the Tigers, the Reds, and the Marlins. So it's not as many teams as they had before. We know there are a good number of teams that have left the Bally FanDuel portfolio. The Brewers left, the Twins left, the Rangers left. Previously, they had ended deals with the Padres and with the Diamondbacks. But there are some other teams that could still re-up with them before all is said and done. So that's the first thing. It also looks like they're going to get another infusion of cash. And if you are a cord cutter, but you are an Amazon user, this might be a really good thing for you. FanDuel Sports Network has an official deal with Amazon where if you have Prime or you have just the Prime Video service, you can buy Prime Video without actually having the Prime package. But it feels like most people have Amazon Prime or a lot of people have Amazon Prime. FanDuel Sports Network is going to be available to you as an add-on. Now, FanDuel had already said that, you know, they're already offering, say, like the Blues games. I think it's like $20 a month. There's going to be a package for Cardinals games, probably about $20 a month or so. They haven't said what the price is going to be yet for Amazon, but I would think that because they're working it out with Amazon and because you already have an Amazon account and you're paying for the service, I would think there's a good chance that adding on FanDuel to your Amazon Prime account is going to maybe cost a little bit less than if you buy it directly from FanDuel. I could be completely off on that. It could be the exact same price, and it's just another avenue for you to go get it. But now Amazon is going to, you're going to be able to stream the entire network through your Amazon Prime account. So if you've got an Amazon Prime account and you watch Prime TV, you watch some of the different video offerings that they have, you'll be able to do an add-on and get that. So look, we are in a changing media landscape. And I always give credit to people who kind of change along with it. And I think that's where the folks at Diamond Sports and with FanDuel Sports Network deserve a lot of credit, because they were dead. They were dead in the water not that long ago. And now, between acquiring more streaming rights from teams like they've done with the Cardinals, by being able to work out this Amazon deal, by getting a new naming rights agreement with FanDuel, all these things, it just seems like it's a best possible situation. As a Cardinals fan, I think you should be more happy with where they're at right now with the TV situation than if you were in Milwaukee, if you were in Minnesota, if you're in San Diego, if you're in Arizona, if you're in any of those places, because there's going to be more availability for you to get the game somehow, some way. The only issue still is there are still a lot of services, whether it's like, you know, YouTube TV or Hulu Live TV. There's still a bunch of services that don't carry FanDuel. And I know that's a bummer for people who are already paying their cable bill each month to get those services. And it would cost more money for you to get the games. But now, between Amazon and the direct offering, there's clearly going to be ways for you to go about getting these games and getting these networks moving forward. All right, we'll jump back into the Blues. Hockey, Amy Markscores from the Chris and Amy Show. We'll talk all things Blues hockey with her. She joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. St. Louis University women's soccer coach Katie Shields is going to join us in about 15, 20 minutes, talk about her team's run in the NCAA tournament. But right now, very happy to welcome in the alter ego of the person you hear during the Chris and Amy show every weekday midday here on KMOX. It is Hockey Amy. Amy Markscores is with us. Talk a little Blues hockey. Amy, we're reversing things. Generally, I'm your guest on Chris and Amy. Now you're my guest here on Sports Open Line.
I'm so excited. I was like telling people, I'm like, listen, I get to be on Sports Open Line with Matt Pauly.
And people should know, who maybe just know you from Chris and Amy, when the Blues were here on KMOX, you were a big part of that broadcast, and you just had a very large role.
You know, it was really fun. I was with the Blues broadcast team from 2016 to 2019 when they won the Stanley Cup. So, I mean, I miss it. I was, you know, in the locker room every day. You're there. You're just always with the team. It was so fun covering the games at KMOX. Alex Ferrario was also covering the Blues. People know him from the pre and post game, doing the intermissions. And then, obviously, the best of the best was that KMOX will always have that first Stanley Cup victory, and that is so much fun.
I planted earlier the idea of the curse of leaving KMOX. They haven't really done much since leaving the station.
Listen, I mean, I don't, you know, you don't want to point fingers. You don't want to speculate, but you know how it is, Matt. KMOX is something pretty darn special. And so, oh my gosh, being at the Garden, game seven, in the final seconds, even though the Blues were up by multiple goals, I thought this can't be real. Like, I, you know, cynical Blues fan, I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to find some way to lose it. But then they won. It was just so glorious the whole season, worst to first. The 11-game winning streak in January to kick things off, it was glorious. It will always be like a highlight of my life.
Yet here we are right now where the team is doing some things that are just not good. They had the 8-1 loss to Washington, and then they follow that up with a game where they're up 3-0 in the third, 2-0 in the third period, end up giving up three unanswered goals and losing 3-2. I am so frustrated about this team, and I'm trying to get people to like walk me back on my frustration, and nobody can. I feel like a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, no, they do. And, you know, you can fall back on the consolation. You think, okay, when you go back to 2018, 2019, that season, the Blues were in last place in 2019. Before that, remember, Mike Yeo was calling out guys by name for lack of effort. Calling out Alex Pietrangelo, calling out others that he said, okay, you're just not playing up to par. Then he gets fired. Then you have Craig Berube come up. We all know what happened. So you think, like, that's possible. That's possible. However, when you look at that roster and the makeup of that roster, some of the more veteran players that they had on that roster, players that, honest to goodness, you could have picked out a few captains from that 2019 team. Yeah, we had Alex Pietrangelo. Ryan O'Reilly, he could have been a captain. Even David Perron, he could have been a captain. We know Braden Schenn from that squad is the captain. There were certain personalities that were leaders, and that's what concerns me that we're missing in this team, Matt. I was listening earlier, and you talked about how the players, again, keep falling back in the post-game pressers. Like, we know what we need to do. You know, lack of effort. We had too many turnovers. We're just not pushing. We play tentative in that loss to Boston. And what's interesting is when you keep saying something that you know you need to do and you don't do it, that means only one of two things. Either this team, physically, talent-wise, doesn't have the ability to do those things, to not create turnovers, or excuse me, give up turnovers in the neutral zone, or they're not disciplined enough to do it because they know what they need to do and it's not happening. So either they don't have the ability to do it or they're not disciplined enough. And I'm kind of leaning on the latter.
What's more frustrating, just getting run off your own ice on a Saturday night at home and an 8-1 loss, or following that up with a game where you blow a 2-0 lead in the third period?
That's a good question, because for me, the 8-1 loss was more painful because it has exposed so many of the current weaknesses of this team. If you're doing okay in a season and you're playing pretty well and you have an 8-1 loss, you can chalk it up to a fluke. But the Blues had two 8-1 losses within a 12-day span. They looked like they were having issues with effort. So I think the 8-1 loss to the Capitals was so shocking to the system that one actually hurt me more than the 3-2, because instead of hoping for the best in the game when the Blues were up 2-0, you were already expecting the worst. So what they would have to do is, they don't have the benefit of a doubt now. That was erased by that effort against the Capitals. They now have to prove me wrong. Proving me wrong would have been playing 60 full minutes. What they did was they played 40 minutes, and then proved me right by blowing up in the final 20.
I know it's low-hanging fruit, and I know I won't shut up about it, but I'm going to say it again. Does it frustrate you when they come off the 8-1 loss and the first media available? And by the way, post-game after 8-1 loss, you got players saying that other players gave up, which is the worst thing you can do as an athlete when you give up. And you got players basically accusing other players of giving up. That's a terrible place to be. I've heard some quotes from people saying that that third period was the worst third period they've ever seen the Blues play. So we're talking about a really bad moment. And the next game, or the next day when Bannister's doing his media session, he just wants to talk about line changes. Like, am I wrong to be frustrated by that?
No, you're not wrong, but it definitely had that feeling like we said tomorrow when you're like, playoffs? You want to talk about playoffs? Like, there's a level of incredulity where you're thinking, poor line changes not only isn't the problem, but it's such a basic technical part of the game that would be fixable. And what he's implying is, you know, like, well, things are going rough because we have poor line changes. If you haven't fixed the line changes by now, if your team can't figure that out, what are you doing in the NHL? It's not line changes. Yeah, it doesn't help. But what happens is it's losing that focus. It's losing that push. The line changes are not a cause of the problem. They're a symptom of the problem that this team isn't gelling.
Well said. Well said by a hockey Amy Mark Scores. So how does this team get out of this? What's the end result here where this team can get back on the right place?
That's a good question. I don't know. Because I'm you know, you look at a Braden Schenn and you think, okay, who's the leader here? Because the team is more talented than they're playing. I'm not saying they're a Stanley Cup contending team. They are not. But they're more talented than their performances right now, because it looks different when you're being outplayed, but you're playing close to your potential, than it does when you are playing so poorly it's almost embarrassing. And I don't know what can flip the switch. I would hope it would be some type of leadership. Does that come from Schenn? You know, is that really Parayko's personality? Does the team get a boost when Robert Thomas comes back? There's something about this team that kind of feels like a teenager, like very unpredictable, very emotional. I know people talk like, oh, there's a mental fragility aspect. It's almost like they're more emotional and mercurial. They don't have that leader to say, hey, get it together, we got to keep going. It's kind of summed up in the same way. I hate to keep picking on Jordan Kyrou, but some of the issues when he first came up from the minor leagues, and remember his first foray with the Blues really was when David Perron got hurt in that 2019 season. They brought up Jordan Kyrou. He was young. That's what we kept saying. He was young. And if he's going to make it in the NHL, he's got to pull himself together. And it still feels like he's young. So when this core, this team, including Jordan Kyrou, got Craig Berube fired, and then Kyrou kind of mouthed off with a snarky little comment when asked about, hey, you lost Craig Berube. Not only did that, I think, like, really bother the fans, but it's almost illustrative of a team that's kind of immature. And there are mature players on this team. Can they round up the guys that aren't playing up to their ability, that aren't playing up to the league standard, and get them to turn it around? Because, like you said, they're not a Stanley Cup contending roster, at least not, you know, looking at it, but they are better than they are.
She is Amy Markscores. You hear on Chris and Amy. Amy, this was fun. We'll do this every once in a while moving forward.
Oh, I'm excited, Matt. I was looking forward to this all day. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. Amy Markscores, you hear her during Chris and Amy. And that's her Hockey Amy alter ego. And we enjoy talking to her here on KMOX.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. The St. Louis University women's soccer team, once again, they are headed to the NCAA tournament. They're going to be home on Friday as they match up against the Kansas Jayhawks. And we are very happy to welcome back on to the program. She is the head coach of the SLU women's soccer team. She is Coach Katie Shields. Coach, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be with you guys.
Hey, you get your team into the NCAA tournament a lot. Does it always feel cool? Like, does the feeling stay the same every year as you're getting ready for it?
Yeah, I think every team, every championship, it definitely feels different. And so this one has been enjoyable, challenging, all the different emotions, but there's something very special when you get to NCAA tournament time. And so very excited to have that opportunity for the seventh straight year.
What is it about your team this time of the year? Because, I mean, once again, you guys roll through the A-10 Conference Championship. You only give up one goal. You score, what, I think, seven goals over the three matches. I mean, it just seems like every year around this time, you've got your team playing their best.
That's always the goal, you know, when we come together. Obviously, we start preparing in the winter, but as we really come together in August, we always just want to keep growing, keep getting better. And no trip is linear, you know, no season is a straight line up. And so, but we always do try to peak around this time. And I think that's a credit to our women. They just keep getting better. They keep improving and they stay hungry throughout.
I think I ask you this question just about every year, but I'll ask it to you again. You go back to the beginning of the season, and when you put together a non-conference that featured teams like BYU and Missouri and Penn State and some other you went to, Creighton, you had some success in those games. Some of those games you didn't win, but how important are those non-conference experiences as you get ready to play the type of teams that you'll see in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think it's tremendously important, not just to play, you know, challenging opponents, but to play different kinds of opponents, you know, teams that ask different questions of you and your team. And then to be, again, find success against teams that are going to be playing deep into November and December. And so for us, that's definitely a priority. You know, we accomplished that with our non-conference this year, and we have experience not just playing, but beating teams in the field. And so that's experiences we'll rely on these next few weeks.
SLU has picked up their 17th and 18th A-10 postseason major awards since 2016. This year, Lindsay Heckle is the defensive player of the year. Emily Gaby is the offensive player of the year. I know it takes an entire team, but can you talk a little bit about just the special seasons that those two players had as they were able to lead you to this point?
Yeah, those two are some of the best to ever wear, you know, SLU blue for our program. Obviously, up front, Emily Gaby, I think she's one of the deadliest goal scorers in the country. She can do it in a variety of different ways. And she's just notorious for scoring big goals in big games, just like she did on Championship Sunday. She scored our goal against BYU this fall. So I think having a threat like that on your side, you feel like you got a shot against everybody in the country. And then it also, you know, it maybe opens up opportunity for others if the focus falls all on her. And then from a defensive standpoint, Lindsay Heckle is just, she has gotten better every single year, but she's just consistently a force defensively. She organizes us, she leads an experienced group, but then she's also, I think, second on our team in goals. And so, you know, she's a threat on set pieces. She's a threat coming out of the back. And so to have that weapon in our back pocket is huge come playoff time.
Going to match up against Kansas coming up on Friday night, so everybody can come together and their general dislike for that university coming up this weekend. Well, I'm sure you've seen a lot of them on film. What do you see from them? What kind of challenge will they present?
It's a really, you know, it's a good matchup. As we talk about with our women, everybody at this point is good. You know, you don't get there. You get there by being either champions or beating the best teams in the country consistently. And so, obviously, Kansas found their way in by winning a gauntlet of a Big 12 tournament. But we're excited to just focus, you know, be prepared for Kansas, but focus on us and what's gotten us to this point and our success, and ensure that we are the best version of SLU women's soccer come Friday night.
Not to bring up a bad memory, but the one other matchup between these two teams came in 2018. That was in Lawrence, a double overtime matchup. Kansas ended up winning by a 2-1 score. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, it feels like two decades ago in a lot of ways, just because that was from this modern time, this modern era. My you know, in terms of my time with SLU, that was our first trip to the NCAA tournament in 2018. And so it was new for everybody. We weren't as experienced as we are with this current group. It was a cold, I think it was about 10 degrees at kickoff. So it was a really cold night. I think everybody remembers that it was there. And it was an end-to-end battle. You know, it was a different team at that time at Kansas, different coaching staff, different, you know, kind of different style play. So I think it's history. It's ancient history. Nobody other than myself, you know, and one of our assistant coaches were in the program at the time, but we're, you know, I've heard from a few alums who would like us to take care of that result on Friday for their memories.
It's going to be a 7 o'clock start at Herman Stadium on Friday night. For folks who generally come out and support you guys, I know they're going to be there, but talk to the people who are listening right now who have never gone to a SLU women's soccer game and why they need to be there on Friday night.
I think first and foremost, we are the premier, you know, we're the best women's soccer in the city of St. Louis. And so, you know, for those that maybe follow women's soccer or have kids that play, it's the best, you know, it's the best of the best you can find. We've got future pros on our field. And I think we play a very high flying, exciting brand of soccer. We love to score goals. We love to celebrate. And we've got, you know, just an incredible environment within the stadium. It's one of the premier stadiums in the country to come watch a college soccer game. And I think, you know, for us, it'll be an incredible atmosphere that you won't want to miss on Friday night.
For those folks out there that were at City SC games all the time and are going through a soccer withdrawal, this is a great opportunity to go get a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck coming up on Friday night. Always good to beat the Jayhawks. Hopefully you're able to do that. And hopefully we're talking more as you guys have a long, deep run through the tournament.
I hope so. Thanks so much, Matt.
That's Coach Katie Shields joining us on the program. We appreciate her taking a few moments with us. And like I said, get on out there. Herman, it's Friday night. It's going to be at Herman Stadium, 7 o'clock start. If you go to slubilkins.com, you can see all the ticket information right there. But, man, that's a special program. Right now, they've got tickets on sale, $12 for adults, $6 for youth. So that's a great deal, and you can go watch some really high-level women's soccer that's going to be taking place on Friday. It's just incredible to think about. It was interesting for me listening to her talk about 2018 because it doesn't feel like 2018 was that long ago, and it feels like SLU women's soccer has just been this juggernaut forever, going to the tournament on almost an every year basis. And for her, into her second decade, I believe this is her 12th year coaching the program, for her to talk about 2018 and being their first times when she was there to play in the tournament, didn't mean to bring up too bad of a memory with that result. But certainly, man, oh, man, oh, man, you think 2018, 5-6 years since then, not a lot. That program and what they've turned into that short amount of time is pretty remarkable. All right, we'll take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up this edition. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauley. Back with more in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are starting to wrap things up for the evening on this show, but don't go anywhere. We've got the Gas House Gang coming your way from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening, as tonight it's going to be myself and Tom Ackerman. If you're not familiar yet with the Gas House Gang, certainly would encourage you to be familiar with it. In addition to be able to listen back at 8 o'clock, you're able to watch it live when it airs at 12 noon every weekday. And like I said, today it's going to be myself and Tom Ackerman. Tomorrow is Thursday, so that's going to be Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas. And then on Friday, it's going to be myself and Bernie Miklas. So each day, we've got a different tandem of our group of four, except for Monday, where it's all four of us for a Cardinals Monday. Myself, Tom, Kevin, and Bernie Miklas coming your way every Monday. So whether you subscribe via the KMOX Sports YouTube page or via podcast form or wherever it might be, you can check it out live or on demand or on the radio weekday nights at 8 o'clock, and that's what's going to be coming up here in just a little bit. We discussed this, Tom and I do, so I don't want to give everything away from our conversation that's going to be coming up in a few moments, but I've been thinking about this a fair amount because –
yesterday we got a text message basically saying, why would the team trade Nolan Arenado? He's not really due that much money over the course of the next few years. And I've seen some people during the Gas House Gang the other day. We got a comment from somebody asking, why don't the Cardinals sign Max Scherzer? Yeah, it's just comments like those make me kind of feel like that not everybody, and I'm not trying to be like disrespectful to the people who send those messages, so I hope it doesn't come across that way. But in some ways, those messages make me feel like, despite my best efforts, and I think the rest of the media's best efforts of kind of explaining what the Cardinals are doing, I feel like there's still a little bit of a disconnect there. The Cardinals are going young as much as they can. And in many ways, I'm actually somewhat concerned if they are going to be able to go as young as I would like them to go. I'll repeat this and I'll continue to repeat this. I want to see young guys have an opportunity to be in the starting rotation. And right now, the way the team is set up, there's really not that much room for young pitchers in the starting rotation when you already have. Now, Andre Pallante is a young guy, but he's also sort of an established guy. He's been in the big leagues for a few years. I'm talking about the Michael McGreevy's and the Gordon Graceffos and maybe eventually Quinn Matthews late in the season. I'm talking about having entry points for those guys to get into the starting rotation. And it will all work itself out, and you always want more starting pitchers than you need going into spring training because you never have all of them coming out. So I'm probably getting worried about something that I really don't need to get worried about. But the way it's sitting right now, with the if the season were to start tomorrow, the rotation for the Cardinals would be Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, Miles Michaelis, and then probably either Steven Matz or Michael McGreevy. So your fifth starter spot is maybe open for one of these young guys. And to me, that's just not a huge opportunity for young guys. When we talk about the move to first base for Wilson Contreras, that does open up opportunities for young catchers. And we'll see that with Pedro Páez and Ivan Herrera, as those guys you would expect to be the catching tandem for the Cardinals next season. But it also, by putting Contreras at first base, it closes down an opportunity to use an Alec Burleson, a Lucan Baker, and Ivan Herrera, even though he's going to be catching, and Nolan Gorman, use those young guys at first base. So if you don't just say, we're going young, and then that's all you need to do. Like, if you say you're going to go young, which I think is a good thing for this team to do, you got to figure out what you have. You actually have to follow through on that. And Jordan Walker is going to get the opportunity in right field, you would assume. We'll see what happens in center field and whether or not Victor Scott really gets a chance to win that job, or if they're going to stick around with Michael Ciani and Lars Nootbaar, you would think is going to be mainly your left fielder. But if you bring back a Nolan Arenado, and that was the point the texter was sending in yesterday, are you really going young? Because you're losing opportunities to put young players in. When the starting rotation looks the way it looks right now, when the, you know, I think from a relief standpoint, there's going to be opportunities for young guys to step forward. That absolutely is going to be an area. But the John Mozeliak didn't say we're trying to create a situation where young relievers get opportunities. He said young players are going to have opportunities. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for young players. Well, then those opportunities need to be created. And I guess the answer to that, like if I'm listening to me talk right now, probably the response that I would have is, well, you don't want to just move on from a guy to give a young guy an opportunity, right? Like that's not, you want to win games. You want to put together the best team. And that's just true. I don't think this team is going into next season thinking that they're, even though payroll is going down, I don't think that they're going into the season saying that they're not going to compete. They don't have an opportunity to win. I've said it over and over. I'm pretty comfortable with where this team is at right now in terms of at least being a playoff contender. I'm not telling you they're a World Series contender. That's not who they're going to be this upcoming season. But it also wasn't who they were this past year. And this past year, they had spent a ton of money going into this year, and they just spent it on middle-level players, where you should be able to replicate much of what those players did with the guys that are going to come in and step up and step forward and all of that. But I love Nolan Arenado. 2 years ago, year ago, you know, going into last season, not this past season, but the year before, Nolan Arenado was on my short list of players that if I had to start a team, who I would have taken. You know, an all-star caliber bat with a Hall of Fame caliber defensive position, you know, defensive ability at third base. That guy who he was 2-3 years ago and beyond, like, I thought that skill set together was the type of player that you want in your organization. And he's fallen back a little bit offensively. He's fallen back a little bit defensively as well, probably not as much as some would think, but he's not. It's just time, I think. It's just time where if you are going to be an organization and you are going to sit there and say, we're going to give young guys opportunities, which is what healthy organizations do. You develop players, you get them to the big leagues, and you give them the opportunity to be as good as possible. And that's where Brant Brown and everybody else the organization is going to bring in. Now, that's part of it. But when you do that, again, it's just part of a healthy organization. So to me, it makes a lot of sense to move on from Nolan Arenado. I hate that I'm saying those words, but that's where it's at. I do think maybe at times there is a little bit of a disconnect when it comes to building the roster for the upcoming season. There are people out there that are simply, I want to say not listening, but it's not clicking with them completely of what it's going to look like. If you are watching the Gas House Gang, and I'm really not trying to like single out one single person. So if you're the person who sent this, I'm sorry. But if you're watching the Gas House Gang and we're talking about the future of the Cardinals and talking about the refocusing on player development and the young players getting opportunities, and you send in a message that says, hey, why don't they sign Max Scherzer? To me, that tells I feel like you don't completely understand or don't get, or maybe just not willing to accept, whatever it might be, what they're actually trying to do for this upcoming season. I actually think they're going to get to, if they get to spring training, and the team kind of looks the way that I think it's going to look, and there are a bunch of solid veteran relief pitchers still out there on the market, I think that's an area that they could actually try to improve themselves with some more veteran-type players who are willing to take somewhat low-money deals. Like, if you're Andrew Kittredge, you go into this offseason coming off a fantastic year saying, I'm going to try to make as much money as I possibly can make. A lot of guys go into off seasons thinking that, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. See Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery, it's not an apples to apples, but you'll get the point that I'm trying to make. Jordan Montgomery coming off a spectacular postseason and a World Series and a pretty good regular season was thinking last year that was going to be his big payday year, and then it just didn't happen, and he ended up signing a contract that was probably for less money than he wanted to, certainly less years than he wanted to. You don't root for those things to happen, but they do happen. We can't ignore the fact that they are likely to happen. So if Andrew Kittredge hits free agency coming off a great year where he thinks he's going to make a whole bunch of money and get a multi-year contract, and then it doesn't happen, and we're 3 weeks out from pitchers and catchers reporting, do you have a conversation with Andrew Kittredge about him coming back to the Cardinals at a number that you feel comfortable with? Absolutely. And maybe you can put together that exact same kind of season and try again next year. But those kind of deals where you actually do bring in a veteran player that can help, I would think that those type of deals are going to be much, much, much closer to spring training. All right, that's going to do it. That is going to do it for this edition of the program. Again, we've got the Gas House Gang on the way next, myself and Tom Ackerman. That's going to be coming your way until 9 o'clock tonight. So listen in for that. It begins after the 8 o'clock news, which is in just a few minutes right here on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!